Today we talk about Turkoff and the tone-deaf people at Battle State, and my experience as an aging gamer with Joystick Drift. All this and more, this is Nerds with Mics. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode of 148 of Nerds with Mics. I'm Travis.
I'm Justin.
You always seem so surprised when you have to say your name. It's almost as I'm Ron Burgundy. Yeah, in the notes, I always put the question mark at the end of your name. Yep. But thank you for stopping in and listening to us or watching us, depending on what avenue you choose to consume our content. We do appreciate you stopping by. Today, we have a couple different topics. Today, we're going to talk about Turkoff and some of the drama that is happening at Battle State Studio. I have not really played Turkoff, so that's Justin's topic that we're going to cover, but I'm going to chime in. And then I'm going to talk about what it's been like over the past few years as an aging gamer. I just celebrated my 40th birthday in March, and I can kind of tell as I get older, my experience as a gamer is changing. Not only is my body changing, but also my gaming experience is changing.
Pervert.
Pervert.
I told you I was going to get third.
Yeah, you definitely did. But yeah, without further ado, though, let's go ahead and get into it. But we always like to start by talking about what we've been up to. Justin, I'm actually going to go first because I feel like because I always open this, it always defaults to you talking about your week first. So I'll go this week because I honestly don't have a ton. So I had told you last week that I had finished A Good Place. Still really sad about finishing that show, honestly. I kind of low-key wish I would have took a little bit longer to finish it. But finished that show, and per your recommendation, I said I needed more Walton Goggins based off of, Fallout and just how good he is, that you recommended Justified, and I started Justified. I'm about halfway through season one. It's been good so far. On the gaming front, I haven't played a ton of new games, still played a little bit of Final Fantasy. I've been trying to figure out some games to throw on my Legion Go, because a lot of times, and we'll probably get into this later, I find me gaming on my handheld in bed before going to sleep. That's sometimes the only time I can sneak gaming in. So I'm trying to think of some other games to put on handheld. I just played a game today called Botany
Manor.
Yeah. It's like a little puzzle game. Very simple, very like pleasing to the eyes. Very simple game. Not a whole lot of like to it. I'm sure it'll get progressively harder as the game goes farther, but it's a very short game. I want to say maybe it's only 6 hours. So it's very short, but it's available on Game Pass and also Steam. This weekend, AKA yesterday, I went to a food festival called Taste of Marietta, because I live in Marietta, Georgia, which is about 20 minutes north of Atlanta. And I only, for some odd reason, this weekend, I only decided that I associate heat, like when it's really hot, with sunburns. But if it's just sunny outside and it's not hot, I just didn't even think about putting on sunscreen. So therefore, I am sunburnt. The back of my neck is the worst of it. You can't really tell on camera probably, but it's awful.
You actually could when you pulled the shirt out. It's like you? White to red.
Yeah, dude. It's and I also took a bike ride today. But I did put sunscreen on when I went back out today. But yeah, it's feels a little hot and chapped.
A little crispy.
I've also been reaching over to the side here. I've also still slowly putting together my DeLorean Lego set. I am, I think, on my third of 11 bags on that. I know it's like almost 2,000 pieces, but it's been pretty cool so far. So I've been doing that. And then also over the past week, I've been getting back into being more active. So working out. So I've been I restarted because I was really into running there for a while. I got to the point where I could run a 5K. Then I didn't run for 6 months. So now I'm just restarting my running program. So just started that. Also been going back to the gym. And when I say back to the gym, I just mean my gym at my apartment complex. They have some stuff and nobody's ever there. So I usually go late at night, but also I've been getting back into cycling. So that's been fun. I've been riding my bike, and whatnot. I've been today, I think I rode 10 miles. You know, I haven't gotten hit in an wreck yet. So that's, I'll consider that a win. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I bought tickets today to go see Wednesday, going to see The Fall Guy. Cannot wait to see that movie. It looks hilarious. It's got Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling in it. It looks really fun. Outside of that, that is all that I've been up to. What about you, sir?
Yes. Yeah, so speaking of 5K, I participated in a 5K this weekend, although I walked it, didn't run it because I have never been able to run. My entire life, it's just not for me. Like, why would you? But it's for our local library. So I've done that the last several years. So I did that again on Friday. We watched a movie, I believe it was Friday night, called Late Night with the Devil. Have you seen that?
No, I have seen it on the thing that I have movies on, but I have not watched it yet.
You should.
Is it horror?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I kind of figured. What's funny is the vibe very much reminds me of the beginning of, like, the box art and stuff I saw. Kind of reminds me of the guy opening up of The Last of Us, where they're interviewing those people, like, back in the 70s. I don't know if it's the same guy or if it's somebody different, but...
It's a different guy, but it takes place in the 70s. So the very first chunk of the movie set up almost like a documentary about this late night host's life. And then it kicks in, like, the next... hour and a half, hour 20, whatever, is literally just the broadcast of the late night show.
Oh.
And when they go to commercials, though, the camera doesn't go off. It's like them, like, talking to the producers, doing hair and makeup. Like, it's awesome. It's very good. So wow, you look, so
it's
intrigued.
Like you're watching an episode. Yeah, I mean, it sounds different. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, it was really good. Highly recommend it. So check that out. I haven't been gaming a ton. I did play a little bit of Fallout 76, not a whole lot. And then I spent most of my time gaming on my Steam Deck that I mentioned last week. So,
so proud of you. That's a big deal.
It is. I'm not tinkering. I haven't tinkered once.
That's good.
I haven't even tried to tinker. I've only booted up in desktop mode once.
That's good.
Yeah. Dave the Diver, though, is one of the most charming games I've ever played. So I've seen this game for a while, and I just kind of ignored it. And basically, you're Dave the Diver. And it starts off, you go down the water, you have a harpoon, you catch a few fish, you go back up, and then at night, I didn't know this, you operate a sushi restaurant. So your menu is comprised of things that you caught that day at sea. Well, then you may get certain customers that are like, well, I really want this type of sushi. Can you find this type of fish that can happen? Or, oh, I lost something in the water. Can you retrieve it? Blah, blah, blah. The missions get a little more advanced. The challenge, it becomes more challenging. The dangers become more just there. So the game progresses. It does a really good job of, like, progressing through difficulty and challenges. So super fun game. Perfect handheld game, Travis. Absolutely perfect. So, and I was telling you, I also tried out a game called Graveyard Keeper that is kind of like Stardew Valley if it were set in, like, a 1600s graveyard and, like, town, which was pretty cool. So that one's a lot of fun too, but I've only scratched the surface on that one. To be fair, I've probably only scratched the surface on Dave the Diver too, but I really, really enjoy it. Having a good time.
Well, that's awesome. So I'm proud of you for not tinkering. What kind of tinkering did you do the first time you had a Steam Deck? Was it just like
ROMs, emulators, trying to get things to work that weren't Steam Deck capable? And I should have just treated it like a console with set amount of games.
Yeah. What I will tell you is, if you are going to do any tinkering, like, my recommendation, the stuff that you've not tinkered with, like the emulation, all that stuff, I think that's the perfect approach. However, the one thing you should download and check out if you haven't already, and you may have already previously before, is I think it's called Deki plugin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Where you can customize. So you can customize how everything looks if you want to give it a certain color scheme. But my favorite feature about it is, like, you can go and change all the artwork for all your games and stuff. too. So like if you like a certain type of art style, or if you want to have it themed so that when you get onto it, it looks like it's a Switch layout instead or a PS5 layout. Yeah. So that just allows you to customize more the look of it, as opposed to anything else. Very easy to use, but you should look into that if you decide you want to just change up the look. But yeah, it's Steam Deck's it's the best of them, I think. Honestly,
when I do decide to tinker, I will put emulators on, and I will probably put the Edge browser so I can play Xbox Cloud games.
Oh yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. Nope. I'm hoping it before too long, we might just get a native version of that, but I guess we'll have to see. It'll have to be Linux.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, all right. Well, before we get into our topics, because we haven't done this in a few weeks, I actually wrote down some hot takes if you would like to participate in some hot takes.
Yes.
That's hot.
What if I just said no?
I mean, I'd have just played by myself, I guess.
You should.
So, got one. It's a grizzly bear would win in a fight against a gorilla.
Okay, I'm going to sound dumb here. I don't know how this is a hot take because I don't know which one's stronger.
Well, I could tell you it's not a matter of which one's stronger. I could tell you which one has opposable thumbs, and that alone is enough to probably make it one. Of course. Yeah. So I would say a gorilla, but I don't know. Grizzly bears are pretty big when they stand up too, though, but I feel like
they are.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anybody's ever put it to the test.
We should try.
Oh no, well, we don't get into that here on Nerds and Mics.
What are you talking about? I used to dog fight all the time.
Oh, right. Just kidding. How dare you? I saw speaking of dog fighting, I saw a clip because I've never seen the show Atlanta, and there's a clip of him racing Michael Vick on the streets, like in a race, and he lost, and it made me laugh. But yeah, so I think gorilla. So you don't really know.
I don't think I have an opinion. I'll go gorilla too.
Oh wow, okay, real clever.
All right, fine, I'll go grizzly bear. It doesn't matter. Okay, we're not going to test it.
all right. So this will actually be a good question based off the movie you said you watched. Psychological thrillers are scarier than a gory horror movie.
100%. Because they're usually more grounded in realism.
Yeah, I would almost venture to say, which I didn't know we were getting a new Strangers movie, a prequel. I think it's a prequel.
I think it's a remake.
Oh, it's something. But I would venture to say that that's a psychological thriller, honestly. First one anyways. The second one, not so much. But
the second one's a slasher movie, but it's fun.
Dude, it's so good. And the soundtrack is so good. And I think it's like the second time we brought up that movie in like a month.
It is, because I remember I always think about the underwater scene,
and I always think about Cincinnati, which I brought up last time.
Yeah.
But anyways, cancel culture has gotten out of hand. Thoughts?
No.
You don't think so? Not yet.
No, I mean I kind of think it's a myth.
Yeah. I like that. Okay.
I mean, name someone that's been canceled.
What?
Somebody that's been canceled. Yeah.
Are you gaslighting me right now?
No, name one person.
I mean, Kevin Spacey?
He raped people. That's different. That's not cancel culture. That's criminal charges.
I was just really trying to jazz you up.
I'm thinking like Dave Chappelle, right? He made all those comments, right? But guess who still sells out arenas and comedy shows and goes on SNL once a year? And J.K. Rowling, everyone...
They
canceled her, but her game sold the most, like was one of the highest selling games last year. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Cancel Shane Gillis or whatever his name was. But now I think honestly, low key, I think sometimes if they are cancel cultured, I think the extra attention around them for that, I think sometimes does the opposite, just drives awareness up around that person.
Yeah. And look, they tried to cancel Bud Light last year. I mean, people are always going to get pissy about something, and people are always going to boycott things. That's always been like part of just like society. It's just now we have social media, so I can go on there and go, guess what? I don't like this thing anymore. It's just like not real though, because you still like that thing, or that person likes that thing. Or
has there ever been a food place or something food related that you wanted to boycott because they've changed something?
Mm-mm. Oh, are you talking about the barbecue sauce, Chick-fil-A?
Oh yeah, I remember that now. Yeah. What did you? So are you still avid? Now we're getting off the rails. Are you still an avid Chick-fil-A customer?
You know what? I do enjoy Chick-fil-A, but it honestly isn't that good anymore.
Well, I was going to ask you, so recent news, they supposedly had changed the formula for their chicken, not necessarily the recipe or how it's cooking, but the actual overall quality of the chicken. So I was just trying see if you had heard about that.
Yeah. Like the last several years, I feel like I go there and their prices have always been higher than other fast food chains, but it was always consistently good. And maybe it's just our local one that's kind of dipped, although we have a couple local ones and they've all kind of had the same fate. But the last 2-3 years, I'll spend what feels like a boatload of money for fast food, and it's just not that good. So I would much rather go to Slim Chickens
Slim Chickens. I forgot all about Slim Chickens.
Slim's is awesome. You have to have a Slim's down there, right? That's like a
Saturday. I don't know. I haven't looked, but we have so many other places, dude.
Have you had Zaxby's?
It's down here. We also just got Raisin Cane's as well. We got Whataburger now.
Dude, people who like Cane's are not well.
It's only the sauce, I think. I don't think the tender, plus their sides are nothing to write. You want either fries or coleslaw. That's your options.
And the fries are crinkle cut. Take that to an elementary school lunchroom. It doesn't belong in a restaurant. If you're serving crinkle cut fries, you should have your license revoked.
I agree and disagree at the same time.
You're 40, right?
Yes, but I'm saying
crinkle cut fries. You're a man.
No. Listen.
Okay.
This is going to be a valid point. If there is an establishment where crinkle cut was the fry when that establishment was around, say if it's like an old diner, like a staple of the community that's been open for 50 years, they get a pass for selling crinkle cut fries. You ever been to Midway on the West End?
Yeah, I think you took me there once.
Yeah, they have crinkle cut fries for a reason because they're amazing. Guess who else does? Frost Top. They got crinkle cut fries.
All right, Raising Cane's has been around since 1996.
No, I'm not saying they need crinkle cut fries. I'm just saying not all restaurants need to not have crinkle cut. I'm just saying there's a place for it. But anyways, now we're getting off the rails. But what I will tell you is we have themed Chick-fil-A's here that you don't find anywhere else in the country. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No.
So we have one that's right across the street from one of the locations that I cover that is called the Dwarf House. And it looks like a dwarf house from the outside. You can choose to walk in through a regular size door on the side, No, it's called the Dwarf House. Look it up. Literally, go to Google right now and type in Chick-fil-A Dwarf House. I'm telling you. But anyways, but they also have menus at these themed ones that you don't get anywhere else. Like they have sweet potato souffle, they have banana pudding, they have fried okra. They have all these things that you can't get at other Chick-fil-A's. We also have one south of the city in Fayetteville. That one is Hawaiian themed and serves, they serve tilapia and mahi-mahi and teriyaki glazed stuff. Yeah, I'm telling you, you don't know, bro.
Chick-fil-A is based out of Georgia, right?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but just in case, I'm just trying to find other reasons that might get you to come down here to visit me. That's all.
Oh, jeez.
But anyways, all right, last hot take, and I'll be curious to see what you – I feel like I already know what you're going to say, so I'm going to read the question, then I'm going to guess what you're going to say, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. And then living 100 years in the future is better than living 100 years in the past. I would say you would rather live in the past.
I don't know about that.
100 years is a pretty long time ago, too, so I guess
it is. And 100 years ago, you got to think about World War II hadn't even started yet. So I've got that to look forward to, you know?
But what if you, but what, okay, let me ask you this. What if you go back 100 years knowing what you know now? I guess you theoretically couldn't live long enough to make anything of yourself, you know?
Yeah. I think I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I don't think I need to go forwards or backwards. That's a tough one. I guess I need to pick a take. I would go probably 100 years in the future.
Okay. That's not the direction.
That's tough. But that's a tough one.
100 years, 100 years is a long time, though.
I mean, you got to think of everything that's happened in the last 100 years. I mean, you've got literally at this point, World War I has only been over for a few years. World War II and the Great Depression are about to begin. Then you're going to have the Cold War. You're going to have the Civil Rights Movement, Vietnam. You're going to have some really crappy things happening.
The Great Depression.
I already said that one, didn't I?
Hmm.
Yeah. Not, I think I actually misspoke. I don't mean the Civil Rights Movement. It was a crappy thing. I meant like the whole injustices was. Wow.
Speaking of canceled.
My head. I was like, oh boy, I didn't clarify that. You're just looking at like a lot of like turmoil and, you know, awful things. And then, you know,
yeah.
But then again, looking forward, things don't look so great either. So like, I don't know, man. I think it just sucks.
You might not even be able to go in the future 100 years. Honestly, there might not be anything to go to. Who knows?
Oh my God.
Just think about that. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get into our topics. Thank you for your participation in those hot takes. Listen, I'd be down if you ever have any hot takes to bring.
All right. I'll think of a couple.
I bet you will.
Keep them to myself.
That's right. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into Battle State Games and what the current climate of Tarkov is. I know that this has been pretty crazy here the past few days.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with Escape from Tarkov, it's like one of the must-own PC games. For the longest time, there really wasn't anything like it, but it's a PvPvE co-op extraction shooter. And they had different bundles you would buy. There was like, you know, a fairly priced one at like $30, $40, I think. And it kind of went up to like $150. And each one, you got different perks like storage space, personal lockers, things like that. And I don't want to like discuss the game in great detail, but basically you start off with so many weapons. And when you go on a mission, you pick which weapons you want to take with you. And then whatever you leave with is what you get to keep. It's like you'll go do the mission. If you grab a bunch of guns, grab loot, you leave, you get to keep that stuff for future missions. If you die, you lose that stuff. Okay. So the game is, it's pretty hardcore, pretty difficult, pretty challenging, but it's a lot of fun. And people who bought the 150 EOD version, I think that's for Edge of Darkness, if I remember correctly, or maybe that's a movie. I don't remember.
This game is out of early access. It's been out of early access for a while.
I actually think it's still in early access, but I could be wrong.
Really? I'll look it up while you're talking. Go ahead.
Okay, so people who bought this EOD version, which I believe has been available since 2016, they were told they would be granted all future DLC content, which is great. That's a great, maybe a great deal. 150 is still a little steep for something like that, but people bought it. People were content. The game kept growing and thriving. And then I think it was last week they announced a new $250 Unheard edition. And what made this so unique is that it came with some new perks, some new bonuses, but also it came with a brand new co-op PvE mode. So people look at this that bought the EOD edition and think, oh, great, I'm covered because I bought the EOD version. It says I get all future DLC. Well, no, that's not the case. Battle State has said that this is not DLC, that it's a whole new game mode. So now it's like, where do you draw the line? What's DLC? What's a new feature? Are they kind of the same thing? I don't know. But it wasn't just the fact that they were not giving the $150 EOD buyers this content. They were behaving terribly on Discord and social media. They're taking shots at competitors. They were just basically holding this hardline stance that, no, you did not buy this version of the game. You don't get that content because you didn't buy it, blah, 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 even though it didn't exist then. So it's been kind of a terrible PR nightmare for them. Now, they did cave, kind of, where they're going to give all EOD players access to this new PvE mode for 6 months. However, they can't have it now because they've admitted their servers cannot accommodate the people who bought the new version and the people who bought the old version. So there's this whole tier system, I guess, going to place where people who bought the EOD version now get like server preference to get in. So people who bought the cheaper versions are now being subjected to long wait and queue times. So basically they took a game that I know for my friends that bought gaming PCs, the first game I would say is you got to get Tarkov. Tarkov is so awesome, right? It became like a must own game. To something now that like I'm kind of embarrassed that I ever told anyone to get. And I think at this point the damage might be done because this has been horrible timing. Tomorrow Gray Zone Warfare, another co-op extraction PvP PvE shooter, goes in early access. And then in May, another one, Arena Breakout Infinite, goes into early access. So it's one of those things where, like, the market since 2016 has been kind of dry. I mean, Call of Duty and Battlefield both tried extraction modes and they weren't very good. So, like, the true Tarkov experience has really been unique to just Tarkov, but just so happens they made this huge blunder. And in the next month, we're going to get two potentially decent competitors. So I don't know how they bounce back from this.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here looking. So it looks like you have to purchase directly through their website, from what I can tell. When you go to purchase, there it shows the four different options. Yeah, it's $250. But I also saw, if you go into expansions, if you want to be able to practice, like do the training in co-op, it's $10 additional. Which is just wild to me, the fact that you would have to pay to be able to just to do practice mode in co-op like that.
They've been off of Steam. They've never been on Steam, which probably cuts back on the amount of players they're being exposed to, but also probably drives up the amount of money they're bringing in because they don't have to give 30% of their money to Steam. Yeah. So it's just kind of crappy that they're really being this greedy. And you know, you don't really see this kind of crappiness from smaller developers. You know, usually that's like an EA thing. Not them. So it just sucks that this is what's happened to a game that up until this point has had a pretty solid reputation.
Now, you played this game a lot there for a while, right?
I did, yeah. I like it a lot.
That's wild. What if Rainbow Siege would have done this?
I would have been pretty upset. Yeah, but I already have all the stuff on Siege.
I know you do. I tried to get into Tarkov there for a while, and that's it. I just couldn't get into it.
Did you die a lot?
I did. Yeah. I know that Battlefield even tried to introduce like a Tarkov like mode, I think, in Battlefield, didn't they?
Yeah, them and Call of Duty both did.
Yeah. So now the competition you said, well, possible competition coming out, have you played or have you been following any of those extensively?
Very little. I mean, I've watched trailers for both. I mean, I'm probably going to check for reviews on Gray Zone Warfare tomorrow, because like I said, it comes out tomorrow. And honestly, I'll probably pick it up if reviews are good.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at those. But it's the same. It's the same like gameplay style you said, right? Pretty much like same premise. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Arena Breakout Infinite looks really good too. The only thing I have to say negative about that is its name. Ugh, it's a terrible name.
Yeah. I will say the graphics on this Gray Zone Warfare look crazy.
They look better than Tarkov, yeah. And so does Arena Breakout Infinite.
Yeah, that looks really good. It will be early access starting tomorrow. But yes, it looks like since this game plans to unlock in approximately 7 hours. So yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I have to check that out. That looks really, really good. I tell you, I remember, I don't know if you and I ever got to play much of Arma, but I always used to love playing Arma.
Yeah, I don't think we played together. I haven't played much of Arma.
Yeah, this game looks-wise reminds me a lot of Arma. It looks really cool. But yeah, those graphics are nuts. Well, I guess we'll just have to see how this unfolds. So what was the release date of all this stuff for Tarkov?
What do you mean the release date for Tarkov?
Oh no, I'm sorry. All that stuff that they're doing is now, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. $250. I mean, it's like part of me doesn't want it to do well because I don't want it like this to become like something we start seeing more commonly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Gray Zone Warfare. They are doing like tiered purchases as well. That's kind of just like a trend, I think, with these types of games where they've got a version. I'm pulling it up here. It's not loading. Oh, well, kind of. From $34.99 up to only $100, though. So $100's the biggest bundle that it has. So still not cheap, but the fact that you can get in for $35 is pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, because we've paid over $100 for like some of those Ubisoft Gold versions of games before. So, like, you know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that shakes out. But yeah, I don't really want it to do well. Not that I want them to go under, but I feel like there should be a little bit of backlash for that. That's wild. Anything else?
No, tell us about your limpy joystick.
It's not limpy. It's drifty.
Oh, drifty.
It's drifty in here. Yeah, it's fine.
Pervert. My bad. I thought you said limpy.
What a pervert.
I thought that was a weird way to word it.
Yeah, I know. So did I. Freak. Anyways. No, so the episode that my friend Alex and I recorded that got deleted, we had recorded an episode, and we're going to re-record it at some point, but it was about essentially the, you know, how social gaming has changed completely based on what it used to be, right? And it got me thinking, like, you know, just like looking at like how I used to play games versus how I play them now. And it just like sparked the like idea, like how I've changed as a gamer over the course of my life, hitting 40, gaming throughout my 30s, I could tell is where it really started to change. Like as I got in my 30s, like obviously, are you in your 30s yet?
No.
You're lying.
Yeah, I'm lying.
Are you, how old are you now?
I'm not telling you.
Okay. Well, have you yourself noticed, like as a gamer, like your gaming trends have changed? You don't play nearly as much, or do you always typically find time?
I mean,
I'm also
a dad, so like it's harder. I mean,
you are, but I also feel like you game more than I do, and I have way less like responsibilities in life than you do.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I game like a couple of hours a night, a couple nights a week.
Yeah, I don't. I'd be surprised if I played more than 3 hours of games a week.
Oh, then yeah, I guess I do game more than you.
Yeah, but I think that's a few reasons. One, I don't feel like I have the friend group, like the multiplayer games like I used to play nearly as much. And I've also found that it's harder for me to stay focused with certain games. It really has to be a game that like grabs me. And I feel like as I've gotten older, it's harder for a game to grab me and make me want to continue to play that game. I remember last year when I played, trying to think of what that game is called. Hi-Fi Mass Rush.
Effect. Oh,
no. Well, yeah, that too. But I played Hi-Fi Rush, and you know, I don't watch anime, not really big into that stuff. However, you know, the characters were super charming, the story was engaging, but the gameplay was really fun. So it made me want to keep going back. I remember before that, I remember playing Hellblade. That game was able to kind of grab me. Despite both the newer Spider-Man games have been able to kind of keep my attention. But then there's certain games like, I think what it is the bigger the game is, like the more you can do in the game, the harder it is for me to stick with that game. Like I really wanted to like love, and I know it's a great game. What's
your main game right now?
What is my main game?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy.
14. Right now. One of the biggest games ever.
Yeah, but all I'm doing is story missions. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm doing is I do dailies and I do the story missions. I don't do any side content, any side quests. But what I was going to say is it's no argument that obviously Baldur's Gate 3 was amazing, right?
Yeah.
However, like, it was hard for me to stay focused in that game and just continue to play. I had the same issue with Tears of the Kingdom. I could not get into Tears of the Kingdom. When they centered and focused around the whole building aspect of it, they lost me, which I know I don't necessarily have to do that much. Like you have to do some, but I don't have to do as much as obviously what some people are, but like it just being there just distracts me enough that I don't want to do it. So I find that games that have more side content and not like a super focused vision, like in the story, or linear, I should say. I feel like as I get older, the more linear the gameplay is, the easier it is for me to like stick with it. I will say Mass Effect might have been the exception, I guess, recently, because I would say there's a fair amount of side content, but I would also say it's very linear. It's easy to like know what it is you're supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Plus, I knew that if I didn't do a lot of the side content, I was going to lose all my crew, like lose a lot of my crew members. So I knew, like, you know, why I had to do that. So I really just wanted to kind of like focus in on a few areas. So, like, is there any, before I get into this, is there anything that you have noticed, like if you're thinking back, like maybe the past like 5 or 10 years, like traits that you've seen in gaming where you don't tend to do anymore? Maybe you've picked up new habits as a gamer.
Yeah, like the Assassin's Creed games I'm kind of out on because, like, yeah, it's just like you pull up the map and it's just a giant sprawling world, which is fine, but then there's like a million little dots or symbols and none of them mean anything, but there's just like, I know it's
Mirage is supposedly more focused, but I've not played Mirage.
It's like, just okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't really for me, but
it's funny you should bring that up because I just put Black Flag on my handheld.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very but nice. What else? Anything else?
I really think that might be the biggest turnoff right now. It's just games that are just too big for their own good. I mean, The Witcher 3 kind of has that problem too.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I've got it kind of broken into different categories. So one thing for me is time constraints. That's kind of one of the things that I suffer with. So like for me, like, you know, I just feel like my days are so packed with like between like work and trying to like get up in the morning and like be active before my day really starts. And then also when I get home, I'm usually active doing something else that like by the time I get to just like chill and just like kind of decompress, like the last thing that sometimes I feel like I want to do is like pick up a controller. Now, like, for instance, like if somebody says, hey, like I've had instances where Alex and his friends are like, hey, do you want to get on and play some Helldivers? Like, I find that like I will always rally for like social events, like social, like gaming with like friends and stuff. But when it comes to like, when I know I pick up the controller, I'm just going to be like playing something solo. That is typically where I struggle, you know, towards the end of the day. Now, I will say for some odd reason that the last two Star Wars Jedi games, I really powered through because I really like those. But yeah, so time constraint is one for me. So sometimes quick gaming sessions are really what are kind of squeezed in between like where I can get them. You know what I mean? That's why I said like a lot of times, like I'll put games on my handheld because I know that if like I'm in bed and I don't turn the TV on, I can just play games until I start to sleepy and then I'll just go to bed. You know what I mean? That's why like I'm excited, which I'll get into here in just a little bit, about some of the things I'm looking forward to or some games coming out that I didn't play on console that are coming to PC. And that's why I know sometimes like, I'm like, oh, hey, I picked this up on handheld. And you're like, we have that on PlayStation. I was like, I know, but like, I want to be able to play it like in bed sometimes, yeah. You know what I mean? But I did get remote play set up. So I've even been doing some remote play on my handheld while I'm in bed as well. As part of time constraints, I find that like, obviously, and you know this just as well as I do, if not better, is like prioritizing like what your responsibilities are. You know, sometimes when you really want a game, you just got so many other things that are more important than playing games that you have to do first. You know what I mean? Whether it's work or family or social commitments. Like I know I play trivia usually once a week. You know, me and my girlfriend hang out. Like obviously, like I'm not going to like play games if she comes over to hang out. Like what kind of experience is that? You know what I mean? You know, so I think a lot of times it's prioritizing what your responsibility is just based on what you have going on for the day. For me, I think a big part of aging is like, I cannot stay up nearly as late as I used to be able to. Usually like once midnight's like midnight is like pushing it for me nowadays, to be honest with you. I've found that I'm slowly becoming that person that typically will, even if I go to bed at midnight, I'll still usually wake up by like 7:30 and be out of bed. You know what I mean? Like, so maybe the ticket is I need to play games in the morning when I get up. Maybe I just need to switch my schedule around. But I typically find that like just my sleep schedule also kind of dictates if I play games or not, because I'm trying to be more mindful. If I'm tired, I'm just going to go to bed. You know what I mean? Like when I was younger, I used to have this thing. It's like, oh, I have these like free 4 hours that like I could play games, and I would just play games all those 4 hours and then stay up past that sometimes. I know there's been many nights that you and I have stayed up late playing video games, right? Like, you know, whether it would be Borderlands or you'd be shooting my hostage in Splinter Cell, you know?
That's right.
The worst. I also think, too, I mentioned earlier, I feel like as I've gotten older, I think my gaming preferences evolved, like kind of like I said earlier, you know, where a lot of times it would be I would only game mostly for the social aspect. Now I find that I am playing games less socially and I'm looking for games that are more like story oriented or story based. You know, I will go back and play games occasionally just for the nostalgia aspect. You know, as the sole reason I put Assassin's Creed Black Flag back on my handheld, because I remember playing that game and loving it. And then I go back and I try to replay it and I'm like, ah, it's good, but like not enough for me to want to replay through the game. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes that is what nostalgia, I think, changes our views on certain games. We think of it in high regards. Like I really want to go back and play Knights of the Old Republic, but I'm afraid if I go back and play that game, it's going to be like another one of those instances where like
still I can't holds play. Up.
Does it? What's the last time you played it? Be honest.
Like a year ago.
I even looked up to like what are some mods that you can like graphics mods you can get now to hold you over until obviously the remake's coming out. And there's quite a few on Nexus.
Cool.
But for me, I think if I can get more into gaming as a social thing, I think I'll probably start to play more games. But when it's just me by myself and I only have like limited time, I just find that the older I get, the less and less I'm picking up a controller. It's like my dad texted me the other day and was like, "Hey, what do you think about the Series X?" I was like, "Well, I can tell you mine collects dust. I don't really play it." You don't even have yours anymore. Didn't you give it to your son?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Did you get an S or no?
I had one for a while, but then I sold it and I seized my computer.
Yeah, as you should. But I do have high hopes though. Like when the expansion for Final Fantasy comes out, I'll continue to play that. Maybe I'll see you back online more often when that comes out. I imagine so, right? So that's just I think the thing is like, just because I'm getting older doesn't mean I'm going to stop playing games. I mean, there might be a point where I really dive back into it. It's just like I'm waiting for the right game to come along. Because to be honest, sometimes when I'm playing games, depending on if it just doesn't get me right in the beginning, I get bored.
Yeah,
I don't know if you suffer from that or not, but absolutely. But I'll definitely download Dave the Diver and check it out, see how it is.
I think you'll like it.
Per your recommendation, I mean, you haven't steered me wrong yet. I don't think.
Never. No, never.
I don't know about ever, but...
No, never. No. Never. No misses.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all I want to talk about. Is there anything you want to add? Anything that you had thought of? No?
No.
Well, let me ask you this then. So obviously as an older gamer, right? Like as you've gotten older, have you seen your son have a lot of like the same gaming traits you had when you were young? Or do you think like this is a totally new different, like generation of gamer?
I mean, he really likes Minecraft. He likes Minecraft, but he also likes like Roblox, which I despise. Like for his birthday, he wanted Roblox cards, which just like crushed me because it's such a scam. But yeah, he's really into that. He's playing this Naruto game right now too, that he's really into.
Is he in the anime?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually, oddly enough, last night played Fortnite with my sister. I didn't know they brought Zero Build back where you can actually play without the building aspect of it.
I don't think it left, did it?
I don't know. It's been so long.
I only played Zero Build. I can't keep up with the sweaty 10-year-olds.
Yeah, but now they brought the Airbender stuff to it, and it's wild.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think also too, like having younger siblings like I do, I think that also kind of keeps me like playing some of the games that maybe I wouldn't normally touch anymore. Cause like there's been times that like me, my younger brother and my sister, like we all get on and play together, you know? So it's pretty fun. Yeah. But yeah, I'd be curious to know, like if anybody like, I mean, if you want to comment and talk about what it's like for you to, as you get older, feel free to just like reply on one of our, our social medias. I would love to hear what you have to say. So let's talk about, since we don't have anything else for that, let's talk about like, what are some of the things you're looking forward to?
Yeah. So this weekend, well, tomorrow I'm going to a concert in Columbus. We're going to see Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service.
You're pretty cute too.
Thank you. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And then this weekend, we're going to be gone all weekend with the Reds game on Saturday and then Kings Island on Sunday. And I'm kind of like, I'm excited, but I'm also like, God, why did I do this? Like, that's a lot of traveling in 1 week. And I know I'm going to be really tired, but it'll be fun.
It'll be fun, especially how miserable you'll feel after walking around Kings Island all day.
Especially when I get to go back to work on Monday. Yeah, it'll be awesome.
How did you? Oh, yeah. I hate doing that to myself. Anymore, I try to give myself a buffer window. But I know in your field, it's sometimes harder to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun. I haven't been to a theme park in a hot minute. I think in June, when I meet up with my family in Williamsburg, Virginia, one of the most exciting places on the planet, I think we're
Williamsburg's gonna go awesome.
I mean, I guess if you like history like you do, you probably think it's awesome. But
well, they have Six Flags or Busch Gardens or something.
It's Busch Gardens. It's it's Busch, like your mom.
Oh my God! How'd you know her maiden name is Busch?
I don't know, because the curtains match the drapes, I guess. Anyways, all right. So for me, looking forward to some upcoming game releases. So next month we get Hellblade 2. Looking forward to that. And in the game that I was referring to earlier when I was talking about on handheld was Ghost of Tsushima is coming to PC. That game,
what did you write in the notes?
What are you talking about?
So you didn't write Tsushima on the notes. You write Tsumania.
To Tai Tsunami. Don't worry about it.
Is that Tsunami?
I don't know. Don't worry about what it is. Go look at how it's spelled. Go look at how it's spelled and see how I botched it. I don't know.
That might be Tsunami. I don't really know how to spell Tsunami, I guess.
Well, I think that you're a dickhead. So
I'm sorry. No,
but anyways,
Tsunami. That's a totally different word.
But I'm excited to play that game. You couldn't just let it slide, could you? You just couldn't let it go.
I can't. It's so funny.
Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry. We need to publish our notes unedited for the people to read.
No,
nobody would look at them.
It's for my reference, and if I remembered it was Ghost of Tsushima, that's all that matters.
I was honestly hoping you would say Tsumania. Nah.
Ghost of Sushi. So I'm excited to play that because honestly, when Sony brings games to PC, they typically run really well. Honestly,
what'd you hear what they're doing with this one?
No, tell me more.
I'll tell you more. They're going to have a PlayStation overlay. Like, you know, there's the Xbox overlay. You're going to get a PlayStation overlay. Your trophies are going to sync. And I don't know if there'll be a social menu or not, but that'd be pretty cool. But it looks like Sony's really trying to creep into the PC space to kind of...
They need to do more, honestly, because, I mean, not that I play my Xbox much, but I'll tell you, Game Pass is still a far superior service.
Yeah.
And then also, speaking of social gaming, I'm really toying with the idea of getting back into Destiny. The biggest reason is the Final Shape DLC, which is basically tying up basically Destiny 2, is about to come out as well. And I'm looking – I'd like to see how they finish that up. Do you play Destiny anymore?
I just don't really like it.
I played Witch Queen, but I didn't do anything after that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of the most overrated games of all time.
You could say that, but the gameplay is really fun. Honestly, it is fun. Yeah.
Gameplay in Anthem is pretty good too.
That's a lie.
It was. Yeah. That was a really good tech demo, is what Anthem was.
So you're gonna tell me that Anthem is on the same level as Destiny?
I didn't say that. I just said it had good gameplay.
All right. Well, you shut your mouth.
I bet the new Iron Man game is gonna be like that.
Like Anthem.
Yeah, but the flying hopefully, stuff is really good.
Hopefully it gets better. Hopefully it gets better. Better.
Hopefully it actually has stuff to do.
Yeah, I never played Anthem at all.
Wow, you never played it and you're saying this? No, the actual like flying around and stuff was pretty.
I read the reviews across the board, bro.
Yeah, the flying part, like you almost were basically Iron Man anyway in that game. That part was pretty fun. It was like everything else that sucked.
Oh, okay.
The traversal was good. That's what I'm trying to say.
Your traversal.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into our picks of the week. Pick of the week. No.
Yeah. Haven't done that in a while.
No. Brought it back.
We need to get Terry on here to do the recommendation station with this little train horn.
Oh my god, I forgot all about that. maybe we can add a train horn to the like the virtual sounds.
Yeah. Boop,
boop. Or I could just do it with my mouth hole.
And Terry, he would do like that recommendation station. He would do like the voice.
Yeah, I know. Like tickets, please.
Tickets, please, to the recommendation station.
Yeah, we'll know if he actually listens to our episodes. He'll comment based on. Nah, he won't. He won't.
He comments on every video. What are you talking about?
Does he? Okay, yeah. Well, I'll be curious.
Yeah,
okay.
He comments on every video, man.
Well, we never heard from him about coming on that episode for a which we never even did, anyways. But
I know he's too busy playing Marvel Snap, dude.
He's snapping. Always snapping. Always be snapping. ABS. Anyways, so picks of the week. Justin, give us what your pick of the week is.
It's the OLED Steam Deck. So I am one that I have struggled in the past with handheld gaming, and mainly because I'm a tinker. I mentioned that a little bit earlier in the show. I'll try to like go in and make it do things it's not designed to do. And yeah, that's fine for some people, but for me, I guess it's not, because I'd owned one before and I spent almost every bit of time I had with it tinkering. I don't even know if I actually sat down and played a game or not. I just was like, nah, not for me. So I had this urge to get back into handheld gaming. And I was looking at some of the prices on the Steam Deck and specifically the OLED, and they were, you know, the handheld resale market's kind of a mess. There's not a lot of resale value in them, so you can usually get one for a pretty good price. And I did. So I got it, and I've been playing it. And it's honestly just a pretty impressive system. I mean, as far as like build quality, I think it's one of the best. It just feels good, like ergonomically and just structurally. Yeah. And the touch pads are super nice. It's not the most powerful. I think Travis owns the most powerful one in the market with the Legion Go. But as far as just turn it on and play, it doesn't get any easier than this. So, so far it's done everything I needed it to do, and I'm having a pretty good time with it.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that, or it doesn't hurt that it's OLED too. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's, I'm glad that you went back and tried it. And I've actively said that before, like I spend way too much time, tinkering. But I will say, I kind of have the opposite effect. Like when I went to switch to like a Windows handheld, I have found that I spend less tinkering on that, just because most of the tinkering that I was doing was trying to get things like Game Pass to work and all that type of stuff. Whereas now I can just natively install everything, and performance wise, like I don't have to really worry about doing too much tinkering at all in the handheld now. So it's been nice. I mean, the Legion Go still has some growing pains. Legion Go or Legion Space isn't the best. But honestly, I never use it. I just boot up the game I want, just like on my Windows computer. Like I just boot up the game I want to play, and then I'm just in that. And then I'm not really spending time in Windows, so it doesn't really matter to me. And then even on Windows, you have a program called, can't remember what it's called. But anyways, it allows you to do custom interfaces, and you can even boot right into it, so you don't even see Windows. So, you know, good pick. Mine is, I don't know if you've watched it yet or not, but X-Men 97 on Disney is chef's kiss. I'm about halfway through the first season. The third episode was awesome because it was very like throwback retro. Like, I mean, obviously the whole show takes place like, I want to say like a year or maybe right after like the original X-Men cartoon. What's cool about it is like the third one, and it's not really spoilers, but they end up getting sucked into a video game, and it's like, it looks like a, like an old Sega is what it looks like, but it's called, what was it called? Motendo is what it was called. But what's really cool is like, they're going through the thing and there's certain parts where they make the characters look like the old 8-bit versions from, like, you remember that like Fire Player X-Men game I used to have the arcade like thing for? There's certain parts during that episode where they like make the characters look like that when they're like fighting through the thing. It's a really well done show. I think they're about to wrap up the first season, and I think it's going to be a 3-part finale, I think. But there's a lot of whisperings and rumors that they're going to bring in the Avengers, and they're going to do like a crossover, like X-Men versus Avengers. So I'm pretty excited about that, but that's my recommendation. I haven't watched enough of Justified, obviously. I mean, I like what I've seen of Justified, but I mean, I'm only like halfway through the first season. I think there's like 6 seasons, maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah. This is a spinoff show.
Yeah. Yeah. So X-Men's been really good. Definitely recommend it, especially if you watch the originals or you're a fan of like old Saturday morning cartoons. They even kept like, and I think Kevin Feige said that like, we're not going to do this show unless we can secure the rights for the original like song in the beginning of the show, just because it's so iconic. And they were able to get it. So it's very well done. And then there's a character in the new show called Morph, and I can't remember if he was in the original or not, but what's cool about Morph is like he'll morph into other characters. So like, he's a great character because you get to see some of the other callback characters that maybe you haven't seen in a while, even if he's only that person for like a few minutes in the episode or whatever. But it's clever because you get a lot of the old characters that they may aren't like maybe the normal ones that would have been cast in the original one all the time, but you still get to see him, which is pretty cool.
Morph is one of the best Marvel snap cards, in my opinion.
Are you snapping too?
Oh yeah, dude. I'm hardcore into Marvel Snap.
Oh my God.
You need to play it, dude. It's amazing.
Why were you never into Magic the Gathering? That's the real question.
Because I'm not a complete nerd, just kind of a nerd.
That's fair.
I'm just
kidding. All right. Well, I didn't
Marvel,
know. I didn't
Magic know. The Gathering is too expensive. And this is free. Marvel Snap's free.
The digital Magic the Gathering game's free too.
No, I'll look into it one of these days. Yeah, is it easy? Because this is easy. It's just lanes. You just got to fill up lanes.
No, it's definitely more complex, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is a simple man's
game. They've been doing so many good themed ones now. Like, they just released, like, a few weeks ago, Fallout is now Magic the Gathering, which was cool. They even have a deck centered around the Mothman, which is dope. I'll download it. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else before we move on?
Move on to the end, you mean?
Yes, before we close
out. Is it Magic the Gathering Arena? Is that the app?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, he said.
Did you ever play Hearthstone?
No.
Okay, well then never mind. Anything else before we close out?
Nope.
Well, this has been episode 148 of Nerds with Mics. We really appreciate everybody listening in to this episode. Look, Justin, we've done 2 weeks in a row. Look at us. We're doing it. Although I feel like next week I'm going to need to get somebody because you're going to be gone, right? Unless we record on Monday, I guess. We can figure that out after the fact. But anyways.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Regardless, we'll get it figured out. But yeah, thank you so much. We really would appreciate, though, if you would like, subscribe, leave us a review, whatever platform that you listen to. And also make sure that you share us with your friend. And then also drop us a comment. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know things that you hate. Let us know things you love. Let us know things you'd like to see. But without further ado, that does it. Until next time, see ya. Peace.
Bye.